Kraftwerk. Computer Love. Oh man, it's time for me to move on here. I was compelled to play that. I hadn't heard it in a while. And it was a wristwatch ad from the early 70s with Ralph Hütter holding an owl I saw recently. Wacky. Really wacky. Looks like some old hippie. Well, he was a young hippie then. This is before they got into the whole, like, electronic thing. Well, sort of. Todd W. Emmert before that, The Beat Game from A Serpentine Summer. The Caretaker, When the Dog Days Were Drawing to an End from Patience after Seabold. Noah Wall, that's right. Three from Shredder, Aeolian Music for Pocket Fan and Acoustic Guitar. Congrats, Mr. Wall. Richard Skelton, Scar Tissue from Landings. Andy Moore and Kef Matthews, Builder Bloomberg, number one from the album Locks. And Angus McLees at the beginning of the set, Trance, number two from New York Electronic, 1965. That's everything you heard in that set. My name is Fabio. This is WFMU East Orange. Wait, let me fix that. All right, there you go. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, broadcasting at 91.9 FM in New York City and Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the Old Codger.
gotcha. You were quite evasive. At last I've gotcha. I was quite persuasive. From now on you'll be sure to linger any place where I may be. Around my little finger, you'll keep twisting constantly, 'cause I gotcha. And I'm gonna hold you. At last I've gotcha. Like I always told you. And if you think you'll never leave me, well, you've got another guess. I got you, got you, will I watch you? Have I got you? Yes, I say I got you. Use is in mine power. Oh, yeah. Got you. Now's the witching hour. It took one look for me to spot you as the greatest love I've known. You're really some top notcher, and I got you all alone. I say I got you. Ain't gonna lose you. Oh, yeah. Got you. How could I refuse you? There's no one else I'd rather capture. You're the very one I need. I got you, yes, I must confess. Got you, yes, indeed.
Welcome to this week's Old Codger Musical Expedition. We opened up the program with Memphis Minnie, and she sang Down in the Alley. Then McKinney's Cotton Pickers performed a tune called I Gotcha. Well, Old Codger here every week on WFMU, 1 hour of 78 RPM records and breezy patter. Yeah, I want to take this opportunity to send a personal message over the airwaves. By preface, I would say I've suffered from many ailments in my life. I've had Blackwater fever and catalepsy. I've had chilblains, Scrivener's palsy, dyspepsia, lumbago. I've suffered from scrumpox and grocer's itch. I've had swamp sickness, trench mouth, and St. Vitus dance. I've endured 16 pandemics, including the dreaded 1941 Chattanooga choo-choo flu. I survived that while countless others succumbed to big band fever. And I'm still here, functioning at well above 50% of the national average in my age group. Granted, it's a shrinking demographic. But still, cognitively, I'm at the top of my game. I still have full bladder control. My third set of dentures are stable. And I can still thrill the ladies. I recently had another blood test, and the results were the same as ever. It's red, and it's hot. So, for the most part, I feel mighty fine. The only pain I'm having is the one in my ass, and it's called you. You know who I'm talking about, because you're listening, Red Butler. Well, I'm tired of hearing about your so-called miasma. Your complaints have been entered on today's I Couldn't Care Less docket. You're just maladjusted. You should locate a karmic chiropractor who can realign your deformed soul. And I need you to stop calling me. My phone number, for those of you who don't know it, is 6. But, Red, please, forget it. This has been a public service announcement from the Old Codger. Yeah. Hey, having gotten that off my chest, we can now proceed to some excellent music. Thank you.
called that moon country, that possum and coon country, that sycamore heaven back south. I lose my mind till I get there. I long for that old country, that good for the soul country, good for cooking things that melt in your mouth. Oh Lord, when my cousin Cindy Lou plays a twilight hymn to you, she makes that old piano sound exactly like brand new. I long for that moon country, that's where I should be, 'cause that old moon country is home to me.
Thank you. masculine women, feminine men, which is a rooster, which is a hen. It's hard to tell them apart today and say, sister is busy learning to shave, brother just loves a permanent wave. It's hard to tell them apart today, hey, hey. Girls were girls and boys were boys when I was a child. Now we don't know who's who, even what was. Knickers and trousers, baggy and white, nobody knows who's walking inside. Those masculine women and feminine men.
The old gods are here, fulfilling my obligation to the public trust to present to you good music for an hour every week here on WFMU. We heard Joe Venuti on the violin, Eddie Lang on guitar, and they did Sunshine. Hoagy Carmichael sang a song he wrote called Moon Country. We heard the Keller Sisters and Lynch with the Gold Kit Orchestra doing Sunday, and we ended up with Merritt Bruni's and the Friars in Orchestra with the Masculine Women, Feminine Men. Well, old codger here. As I said, I've lately been featuring Gus Bodenheim. He's Maxwell's kid brother. You hear Gus on my program extolling the virtues of Sly Weasel Bourbon, a proud sponsor of the Old Codger Radio Hour. Gus's big brother Maxwell might be alive today if his chest had been bulletproof. Gus is very touchy about criticism of Maxwell. He stresses that any impertinence about Max will be swiftly countered. Gus, you don't want to run afoul of Gus. He has a black belt in whapping people upside the head. Now, I don't think it's impertinent to point out that Maxwell Bodenheim gave drunken sexual predators a bad name. Max was more often clobbered, denounced, hung by his ankles, and kicked down a flight of stairs than any literary figure in history. You can look this up. Maxwell tops the career leaderboards in all four categories. He was once tossed out of the Minetta Tavern so fast that he established a new mark for exit velocity. And Max wasn't much of a poet, and he was an atrocious novelist, but he had talent. He was renowned for writing eloquent book summaries on dust jackets. He was sometimes referred to as the Dostoevsky of flap copy. He slept on park benches and was a regular patron of the Drunk Tank at Bellevue. Oh, but we had fun. Maxwell and I once staged a literary debate in Chicago. The topic was resolved that people who attend literary debates are imbeciles. We packed the auditorium. I went first. I took the affirmative that people who attend literary debates are indeed imbeciles. So I walked slowly to the podium, and I looked out at the audience. I looked to the left, then I looked to the right, and then I announced, "There's proof of the affirmative." Then Bodenheim took the podium. He scrutinized the audience. Then he looked over at me, and he said, "You win." Yeah, Max was a fair man. He was insane, he was cruel, and he was debauched. But he was fair. His kid brother, Gus, is also a lot of fun. When you want some fun, remember the family motto. It's all about the Bodenheims. Of course, Gus is the new official spokesman for Sly Weasel Bourbon. He's been producing new commercials for this fine sponsor of the Old Codger radio program, or as we refer to the brand, a revenue generator. So listen to Gus and break open a bottle of Sly Weasel.
Elmo Lincoln, original Lord of the Jungle. More like a world-class pill than a leopard skin slip. Everyone was always itching to tell him off and how, but only one person had the guts to do it. That's right, yours truly. My secret? Sly Weasel Bourbon. Liquid courage nothing. Why, this stuff is sheer molten malevolence. That ape man never knew what hit him. And I'm pretty foggy on the details myself. But it's a familiar kind of fog. A Sly Weasel fog. Whether you opt for the creepy Deacon's Choice vest pocket sippy pouch or go for broke with the family size Lost Weekend handle, Sly Weasel goes down flaming and comes back up screaming every time. And woe betide the hapless bystander, whether he be clad in civvies or moth-eaten loincloth.
Attraction to me. Oh, skirts, I love those skirts. There's not much to them, you see. Oh, they're down on your ankles and up to your knees. They're up round your hips when up comes the breeze. Oh, skirts, I love those skirts, for they're a big attraction to me. Much as some girls I know. Oh, skirts,
sweet
dresses,
oi,
petticoats,
oi,
stockings.
Stop.
Oh, you big attraction to me.
Thank you.
dancing, plenty of dancing. We, the people, gotta have rhythm and song. We, the people, gotta have singing, plenty of swinging. Please, the people, and you will never go wrong. We don't give a rap about taxation. No, not much. Long as legislators give the nation syncopation, we, the people, have to keep happy, have to keep snappy. We, the people, gotta have rhythm and song. Yes, yes.
And give it to us. We, the people.
Thank you.
You enjoyed that set of music. We opened up with Billy Cotton and his band and a song called Skirts. Fats Waller, the great Thomas Fats Waller, and we, the people. We heard the Boswell sisters singing the song Rainy Days. The James Cook Orchestra did Jungle Jazz, and Josephine Baker with Silly. Man, the old guys are here on WFMU playing 78 RPM records like they're you-know-what. For years on this program, I have been touting the health benefits of Rancho Malario cigars. And today, we are proud that the makers of the fine Rancho Malario cigars have decided to pay for advertising on the Old Codger radio program. Yes, they have decided to put their money where my mouth is. Well, I did not write this ad copy I'm about to read. It was written by Gus Bodenheim, who has the same literary flair as his dead older brother. The next time you get a hankering to shove a flaming, stinking shaft in your ugly craw, why not pick up a malodorous Rancho Malario? That's my cigar. And it might as well be yours, especially now that it's got your slobber all over it. They say these stogies are rolled on the thighs of Cuban stevedores, and one puff will tell you that that ain't just hoopla. Set one ablaze. Savor the blunt force taste. it will traumatize your tongue. And then bask in the aromatic boorishness of Durancho Malario Gran Corona, the bronze medal nominee at the 1953 Dos Filcos Viejos Exposition. Or make do with a stubby, mildly carcinogenic Rancho Malario Robusto, pre-bitten in case your dentures are slipping. Light one up now. You'll soon be wheezing with delight. In no time, you'll be spitting out Cuban thigh hairs and saying, Rancho Malario, eso es un cigarro, supongo. Rancho Malario, do not buy any other brand. If you do, you will be hornswoggled. Don't ever let anyone swoggle your horns. I once... never mind. Lonabelle, I've got to go take a pee. Can you start the next record?
Thank you. 1, 2. Marvelous dance. I wish you could see it. Oh, it's very breathless. One leg's up. Now the other. Now I'm doing the splits. Listen to the taps. They're marvelous. Now I think I better sing. Listen, chaps, you've often paused to wonder what made Miss Blank with Mr. So-and-so. To you it seemed a most amazing blunder. I whisper you the answer, then you'll know. Everyone's got sex appeal for someone, or many of us wouldn't be here. Even the Gee-Gees prove this rule. They're attracted by the donkey, or they'd never be a mule. Look at Queen Elizabeth, whose features quite appalled. The Virgin Queen, they called her, yet many she enthralled. And the Duke of Essex gave the lie to what she's always called, so she must have had some sex appeal for him. Sex appeal, some curse and others bless it, but whoever coined that hyphenated word would never say some do, some don't possess it. Such a statement would be obviously absurd. Everyone's got sex appeal for someone, or many of us wouldn't be here. Even the Gee-Gees prove this rule, attracted by the donkey or could never be a mule. There's the Indian damsel at a fair who wed a handsome swain. She's got the world tattooed all over her, which makes her very plain. But he's gone to live in India, although he's keen on Spain. So she must have had some sex appeal for him. For instance, there's a lovely girl on whom you've got a crunch, but she married someone undersized who looks like Mr. Punch. And they go to bed at 6 p.m. and don't get up till lunch. So he must have had some sex appeal for her. There's a shop girl working daily, 9 to 6, without a rest. She married a night watchman at a jeweler's shop up west. So neither of them ever sees the other one undressed. But they must have had some sex appeal for each other. Everyone's got sex appeal for someone, or many of us wouldn't be here. Even the horses prove this rule, attracted by the donkey or that never be a mule. There's a little chap who married someone statuesque and grand. He's worn himself to ribbons, at least I understand. Through climbing up to kiss her and sliding back to land. So she must have had some sex appeal for him. Vodeo-do, vodeo-do, rumpa-chimpa-lumpa-da-bum-pa-dum-pa-chin-a-gum-bum, rumpa-dee-bum. There you are.
This girl has boys all craving, sets them raving every time they see her passing along. What a girl, she's a real life hitter, a sweetheart getter. When I tell you, I'm not telling you wrong. Has she lifts old boys adore? Does she know what she got them for? Oh, you have no idea. Has she eyes that are full of love? Do they show what she's thinking of? Oh, you have no idea. I want to tell you, she's got that what folks can't explain. And say that what would make young Lindbergh burn his plane. Does she step when you take her out? Does she know what it's all about? Oh, you have no idea. So does she make a lot of the college boys spend all the room and just to buy her a toy? Oh, you have no idea. You can't imagine what she does to them. And does she vamp a lot of the thrush and sock? The junior seniors and the gray-haired frost. Oh, you have no idea. Between you and me and the lamppost, she's got a lalum chum, say she is a dream. And with that lalum chum, she wrecked the Princeton football team. Can she vamp any full-grown male? Could she make Tom a cheer for Yale? Oh, you have no idea.
I never cared to share my devotion. Love never touched my heart. I knew nothing of the thrill in store. I never dared to show my emotion. Now I'm about to start. Funny, I have never felt this way before. that warns me to beware tonight. There's something in the air. There's music in the breeze. I never saw the stars so bright. There's something in the air. Though I find there's danger in your eyes, the thrill is new. I've been blind, but now I realize what love can do. I feel it everywhere. So whisper you'll be mine tonight. There's something in the air. But now I realize what love can do. I feel it everywhere. So whisper, you'll be mine tonight. There's something in the
Well, the program is almost over, so I got to read you the list of the songs we heard. We opened up with King Oliver and his Dixie Syncopators and the famous tune Deep Henderson. That recording was from 1926. The song was composed by Fred Rose. Now, many of you know Fred Rose as a famous writer of country songs. He later teamed up with Roy Acuff, and they founded the publishing company Acuff Rose. We heard Roy Smek, the great guitarist, ukulele. He played steel guitar, everything. We heard the bugle call Rag. Ronald Frankau singing. He was accompanied on the piano by Monty Crick, and they did Everyone's Got Sex Appeal for Someone. You may remember Ronald Frankau from the Cabaret Kittens, unless you were born yesterday. After that was the Pont Sisters. And oh, you have no idea. Ruth Edding sang There's Something in the Air. And we finished up the program, the music, with John Kelly and Tony Gattuso, with Satan Takes a Holiday. Well, this is the Old Codger. Just a reminder that I am available for personal appearances at your house party or your lodge function or at weddings and even bar mitzvahs. I will bring two Victrolas and a box of 78 RPM records, good ones, real good ones, and I'll play music that will make all your guests want to cut a rug and make them start setting the woods on fire. Not literally. To book an appearance, contact Lola Bell Pancake. She's my agent. She will give you a rate sheet and my required backstage amenities, which include a bowl of herring and sour cream and Alka-Seltzer. Lola Bell can be reached through her agency, the International House of Pancake. This is your Codger. Again, goodbye. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And they tell me it's online at WFMU.org, but I don't have a clue where that is. Back next week. Goodbye.
Hey, Butch, what are you doing?
I'm making dolls.
Making dolls? For what?
We use them at my Dalgarian worship station as a guided contemplation perspective object. You hold it and imagine yourself as different sizes, like really, really big or really, really small.
Oh, that's cool. What are the heads made out of?
Allspice.
No way! Can I sniff the doll's head?
Sure.
Man, that smells so good.
May your head be filled with the same sweet aroma of good intent.
Shemp jive.
Shemp jive.
Hey, look at this in the listings in the paper. The 70s show we were on, The Companions, is being aired today.
The Companions? That was forever ago. And hey, they never finished filming it. How are they going to show it?
It says here they completed it with narration from one of the creators, Hardy White.
Creators? Man, most of those ideas were ours.
I'm willing to not take credit for it.
Me too, I guess, now that I think about it.
Still, it'd be fun to check it out after all this time. I honestly don't remember what it was about.
It was about Hardy being a dummy.
Sometimes I feel like one of those dolls where you pull the string and it says a line. I imagine I have a finite amount of things to say. I know I have a finite amount of memories. There's not very many of them. I know I only have one real message. Don't sink, don't swim, float. Don't sink, don't swim, float. I imagine I have a finite amount of things to say. Not many things to say, but gratitude in my soul and love in my heart. Sometimes I feel like one of those dolls where you pull the string and it says a line. Not many things to say, but gratitude in my soul and love in my heart. I know I have a finite amount of memories. There's not very many of them. Don't sink, don't swim, float. I guess what I mean is you can't separate yourself from all the things that are happening around you. You must take them into consideration. You must keep your eyes open. Maybe you don't have that much in you, really. Maybe I, Hardy White, am very, very simple. I am a big dummy. I am sure. But I know some things, and I cherish those things, and I cherish the memories that I do have, and I especially cherish my ability to notice. Oh, I try always to notice. Not many things to say, but gratitude in my soul and love in my heart. When I was a house, my perspective changed. My consciousness occupied the entire house, so I was at the same time the whole house, all the rooms, the roof, everything, and also the tiniest part of it, every wire, every board, every nail, and even smaller. Every atom of the boards I was aware of. I went deeper into myself, and when I did, I found whole worlds, populated worlds, with people and cultures and histories, all so small and unaware of us and we them. But by knowing they were there, living in a universe, in a board, in a shelf, in my kitchen, opened my mind to the realization there were giant worlds as well, and lots in between. I am causing the very small and the very large to be separate. I am the observer. None are small to themselves. None are giant but by comparison. I learned this when I was a house. There are people in my cupboard. A lot of people don't understand the world that Butchie and Lou and I live in. It is very exciting, but it is also very scary and dangerous because everything we imagine can become our reality. If you wanted to make a fantasy world and you wanted to make it seem like there was a robot, giant robot or something flying out of the sea, you'd have to use all sorts of computer things or models. We don't. The minute we imagine a giant robot flying out of the sea, it flies out of the sea. And then we have to deal with it because we've put this thing into the universe. Maybe it was made because of some other problem. But I gotta be honest with you, we spend most of our time dealing with the consequences of our solutions. And so, we have lived in this world, Lou and Butchie and I, for a while. And you know, if you had power over a universe, it's very difficult not to imagine yourself the largest thing in it, the most powerful thing in it. It is difficult to imagine that you are the smallest thing in the universe, the tiniest little thing, something that can't really affect everything else. Whose fantasy is that? So my friends and I, we strike something in the middle. We pretend to be pretending. That way it seems gentler. So if we imagine ourselves great time travelers, we imagine ourselves great fictional time travelers. We imagine ourselves in a story, and that way we are safe. So you see, my friends and I were in a television show, and you say, were you really? Well, what's really? In our world, we were. All the consequences and all the things that happen to you when you're in a TV show happen to us, I guess. I imagine because I imagined. So I don't really know. But you see, we wanted to be in a kind of adventure show, and there were adventure shows on the television and everything, like maybe Doctor Who. I don't know if you've seen it. You don't need to see it. But he was a time traveler, you see, and he always had a, what they call a companion. I don't know if there's a euphemism, but he'd have a friend go with him. And the friend was usually not very powerful. Sometimes it was an equal, but usually it was just folks to go with them, somebody to spend some time with you. Like maybe an elderly person hires you to just sit there and say, you know, I'm just hiring you to just be, take up space because I get lonely. Try not to talk because I'm smarter than you. That kind of elderly person. But anyway, so we were approached about doing a show that was going to be like Doctor Who, but just companions. You know how they had cereal, they had Captain Crunch cereal, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, and then they came out with a cereal that was just the berries. Just berries. So that's what this was like. This was like Doctor Who and his companions, but no Doctor Who, just the companions. It'd be like a Robin spinoff of Batman or something. So that doesn't sound too good. Well, I gotta tell you. But we consider ourselves companions, friends already. What a great opportunity to let our imagination soar. You know, we could come up with our own stories. And a story that appealed to us would be one where something very simple was mistaken for something very complex, that something very powerless was taken for something very powerful because of perspective. You know how that is. You've seen movies where they shrink somebody down and they go, that thimble is a huge, what is that, an obelisk? No, it's a person's thimble. It looks like a building because it's perspective. If you're very tiny, then that thing is large. Likewise, you could be saying,